Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
It's good afternoon this time, isn't it? Rather than evening, because we usually record this the night before, but somebody has a very raging social life and was out on the town last night, huh?
Yeah, but I have tried to tell you, let's not stamp it with a date or a day, because we don't know when this gets released. So people listening to this in the morning don't care what time of day it is that we're recording. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but
should I write this down?
We have regulars who wake up on a Friday morning and hang out for it to be released in the afternoon.
So that actually leads me to a really good point. We've had more feedback from last week's forecast than any other. I think anything else that we've put out in the last.
I can't think why. I just can't put my finger on it.
So for those who didn't listen, go back and have a listen. We did do Fiona's couch. We kind of debuted it officially. Some people loved it. Some people said it was too much. I think the solution is what we'll do is we will. No pun intended, by the way. We will do the normal forecast at the end. It will be an abridged cast in couch anyway. So just one question this time.
Yeah.
And it will be fairly tame for those people that found the content a little bit too blush-inducing, shall we say? Yeah. Apparently, blood was pumping.
A little too R-rated. Yeah.
In people's cheeks. I hasten to add cheeks.
Wow.
No. So,
yep.
Yes. Anyway, let's go to the changes. And there's not many. Brian omitted. Is he omitted, though, is the question. And in is Menzies. And I think, look, I've done a 180 on Menzies. I was certainly wrong when I said he's not up to AFL standard. I think we missed him last week, as much as he wouldn't have made a difference. He's earned the right to be picked in the team, I think. What do you think, Fiona? Will Brian actually be brought in late, or is he omitted for real? And whom of the emergencies, Scheel, Cox, Hind, and Brian, do you think might be the sub?
I actually really liked the changes, or change, I should say.
Change.
That's right. I think we go with one ruck. I think the inclusion of Peter Wright the last couple of weeks has just potentially shown that the double ruck partnership doesn't necessarily work as well for balance of the team. Now, I'm saying balance on a whole. So if that means that Langford has to go back to the back line and pinch hit if they're struggling, then I find that as an acceptable option, given that Peter Wright's back. So I actually think that's one reason. Second reason, Port Adelaide only run with one recognised ruckman, Lysette, and then they've got Finlayson, I believe, who's a forward but helps, pinches out. So that's the second reason I think we should run with one ruck. Absolutely, Menzies should never be dropped, should not be dropped unless he's obviously dropped off form. But it just was, I think even Brad Scott would concede it was the wrong call to make him the sub. You make Guelphy the sub before you make Menzies. I mean, yeah. Menzies is a bona fide small forward. In that place, we have Snelling and Guelphy, who are not natural small forwards. So it begs belief why you would sub our only small forward, natural small forward, and two guys who are basically pinch hitting, you know, as small forwards. So anyway, I think you live and learn, and Brad Scott, being the self-aware individual he is, would concede that that's not the right call. I actually really like this change, and I beg of them to make Hind the sub. I wanted him to be the sub last week. I thought as a tactical sub, he's brilliant because he can come on and he can inject some pace, break open lines, stop the opposition's momentum. So I beg of them to make Hind the sub.
But can I ask you, if Dylan Scheel is fit, he's normally in our best 18, so why wouldn't he be the sub? Or do you feel he's not 100%, or
that's my well. I'm a bit scarred. Last time they said he was fit, he came in and was very poor, and then went out again for another 3 weeks. So I don't know. It's probably maybe it wouldn't hurt him to go have a bit of a jog around in the VFL, would it? I mean, look, if I'm reading between the lines, I've got a feeling that he'll probably beat us up, but I hope it's timed. I hope they give Shiel another week of saying he's fully fit.
I don't know. I think if he's fit, I'd pick Shiel because I think he could be a difference maker.
Are you wanting Shiel to be primarily mid at the expense of Martin, Hobbs and Caldwell?
Just come on and add some like penetration with his kicking. Add some that when he's at his best, what does he do?
You didn't answer the question. Do you want him to play predominantly mid at the expense of?
Yeah, why? No, but in the last quarter, why not? Why not?
My bad. Are you wanting to be the sub?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's what I'm saying. I could think if he's let's say he's 80%. Or let's say he's not match fit, but he's physically okay to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good. Type of player that could make a difference in the last quarter.
But see,
When everyone's just a bit tired, slowing down, suddenly he's running away from packs. He's kicking the ball long into the 50. He's ideally hitting a target or two, and even kicking a goal or two.
Yeah, and he has been. Let's be honest, he has been very, very good goal kicker this year. In comparison to his previous years where he barely kind of hit the mark on that point. But that's why I like Heim, because he's buzzy. He's got that buzzy energy about him. That's how he plays his football. And so I think that can really disrupt Port's potential momentum. And this year it's been a year of momentum swings. That's why footy's been a bit hard. I mean, has it been hard to – sometimes it's hard to watch, because even in the Adelaide-Collingwood game, Collingwood got this big momentum swing, kicked 7 goals, and then Adelaide did the same. So it wasn't really back and forth. So I think Hind has the ability to really potentially stop and disrupt some momentum. But, yeah, I wouldn't be upset. I just want Shiel to be at 100%, not come in and, you know, be a mistake.
Yeah, or I wonder if this is in his season, this is his last – throw of the dice to see whether he can continue to play or whether he becomes...
Are you writing him off?
I'm questioning, because again, we know that the Essendon medical team like to play ducks and... Let's call it not ducks and drapes, ducks and drapes. We know they like to play ducks and drapes. Well, yeah, what's wrong with him? What's his actual issue? He tried to come back, wasn't fit. If he tries to come back again and isn't fit, is a surgery required? And maybe this is the last throw of the dice around, okay, is he going to play and be able to play this year, or does he maybe go in for some season-ending surgery? I just repeated myself.
It's all right.
Question for you.
Yep.
I hate the way people – in this world, people are so – just overreact to whatever the latest thing going on is. The narrative around Brian, he's extremely young for Ruckman. Can we not throw him out and just call him rubbish? I think he's...
I'm surprised to hear you take that stance.
I know, right?
Even that you called... You wrote off Menzies after 2 games.
Well, in my defence, I thought Menzies was yet another too slow small forward.
He just
didn't have the physical. No, but I didn't think he had the physical tools. I think Brian has the physical tools. I think he's got the skill. He's just as a ruckman, ruckman are different. They develop differently. We know a baby giraffe basically drops out of its mother's womb and can walk, whereas a little baby human has to suckle on mum's teat for a year. And he's completely useless for the first 18, 2 years, 3 years of its life. It's a similar thing. You know, ruckmen are a bit more like humans. How's that for an analogy?
I'm grasping onto some of it. Yeah, I'm not fully computing all of it, but I'll give you some. Yeah. Look, on that, I'm not convinced on Brian, but it's way too early. I need to see more. Currently, from what I've seen, I'm not convinced, but it's way too early to write him off either way. He needs way more chances to prove himself. He needs consistency. He needs to, you can't. The calls that he's not up to it, or to trade him or drop him, or like, it's ridiculous and it's irrational. And as fans, we can, after a loss, it was irrational. The irrational brigade were back. You know,
it is out of control. It is out of control.
Nice and sweet about it. People just got it. It's absolutely ridiculous that we're even in contention for the eight. Go back 8 months and think about what your prediction was. Think about your mentality 8 months ago and how you saw you went into this season. I bet you said to yourself, oh, look, if I just want to see some kids improve and, you know, I just want to see a bit of an idea of the game plan. That's what you said. You didn't say we were going to be in contention for finals. So let's just hold the horses, hold the giraffes, hold all the animals and just take a chill pill. Because we are still young and developing, and we are probably playing above, you know, ourselves at the moment.
Wise words. 100% agree.
Mm.
Question for you then: who is Junior Rioli going to belt and knock out? Any thoughts behind the ball?
Look, I hope he gets a very, 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 very nice little reception from.
Agree.
Them. From the Essendon crowd, and I hope they give him hell when he's down in the cheer squad end.
Not only that, I hope the players.
Yeah, I was about to say because actually, when he actually hit Ridley, because it was off the ball, the players. It's not like the players could remonstrate because they didn't even know Ridley could have just accidentally knocked him. Do you know what I mean? So they didn't know that he was actually at fault. So you can't blame the players for not remonstrating them. But I hope they go to him and rough him up.
Agreed. Mm. All right, let's turn to the Sitting Joe and Smoking Joe. For new listeners, Smoking Joe is the guy we think is going to have an out-of-the-box game. He's going to smoke, just like Joe Macitti used to. And the Sitting Joe is named after one J. Danaher. And hit the time he sat on the fence, which is the most Joe thing ever. Which one are you doing, Fiona?
You've got the sitting this week.
Sitting, okay. Mm-hmm. Who's your smoking?
No, I've got the sitting. Sorry, my bad. You've got the smoking. Ah. Yep.
Oh, all right. Who is going to smoke? All right. We know my predictions have been pretty uncannily good.
Your win-loss ratio is very, very good. My win-loss ratio is not great, but I think my sitting and smoking Joe has been good. Your sitting Joe hasn't been that great.
Well, I'm going to turn that around this week.
Okay.
And this person is going to turn it around and he's going to get back to the form that we saw at the start of the year. It is the Weed.
Hey!
I reckon he's going to come out. I think he's going to take about 8 marks. Kick 2 goals, 2. Of course, he'll miss some shots.
Yep.
But he'll kick 2 goals, 2, and his confidence will start to turn. And I think it might be because I think he might spend some time in the ruck and he might run around the ground and it might just get into the game rather than in the position he's in now where he doesn't seem quite confident enough to really present in the forward line. So it'll have a cascading effect. He'll spend some time in the middle. He'll get some ball, he'll go up forward and a couple of second half goals, I reckon.
Yep, and that's my other motivation of just going with the one ruck. So it encourages Wiedemann and 2 metre to get into the game if they're lacking, you know. All he's got to do even if Lysette gets most taps, all he's got to do, he lays one good tackle on a midfielder and gets a hold in the ball and he's up and about, you know. That's all it'll take.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, so no, and that's a great one. People have got to stop with like potting him because I can't afford to adopt another one. I'm
hang on,
I have no emotional bandwidth left to adopt another soul. I'm already backing Jake Kelly and Archie Perkins, who have been copying it. Wiedemann has to turn it around for me.
You know who what podcast you're a member of? You do realise we've given him two Hennemans in the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
I have refused to listen because I know that they've come from that, and I have not listened. Christina warned me, and I did not listen to last week. So there you go. You lost the listener.
God.
And you're all. Are you kidding?
We can't afford it. You can't afford to lose one.
You're blaming him. Look, go to the other end of the ground and look at performances like Laverty. At least Wiedemann has hit a mark this year. Laverty has been very disappointing all year.
Don't worry, Laverty's. Laverty might be one of those people who doesn't win a Hennemann all year, but then wins the Hennemann of the year.
He's there because he's offering hot, we lack height. Let's be quite honest.
Yeah.
And as we ascertained, Baldwin is the same height. So I would be giving him the nudge ahead of Laverty. So anyway, moving on. Go, Weed.
So who's your sitting Joe?
Oh, sitting Joe. Look, I want to stay away from the players who I thought were quite... Look, I'm going to say last week's Freo performance was a very... There were a lot of out-of-character, out-of-body occurrences. For one, you know, a few of Nick Martin's turnovers. And that's probably a bit harsh because we're so used to him being so tremendous that when he does... miss a kick or two that he would normally get.
He was sloppy. Yeah,
he was. But it was out of body. It was very out of character for him. He nails those 9 out of 10. So I think there are a lot of them who did a lot of out of character things. But so I'm hesitant to name one of them as the sitting Joe. I'm gonna go with Snelling. I think on the MCG is just it's not going to be his friend he stays in. If he gets dropped or goes to the sub, then
particularly if we kick long to him again like we did multiple times last week.
The new Waller. I felt like I was watching a repeat. He's just replaced Waller in that.
Who was the new Alwyn Davey?
Yeah.
Who was the new, like...
And how can you blame Wiedemann for that? I'm sorry, but it's irrational.
The only guy who could take a mark who was a little small forward was...
Menzies.
I was going to say back in the day was Andy Lovett. Could take a mark.
Yeah, but he was special.
Moorcraft could take a mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad shout. I reckon there's some players need to lift this week. Not because of what happened last week, but there's a few guys like Sammy Durham.
Yes.
LaBird, who you've mentioned.
Yep.
Zirk Thatcher still.
I thought he was better.
He was. He had a better matchup, but, you know, he's got a tough task this week.
Very tough.
So, yeah, there's a few players that need to.
Look, I think we'll see a response, and particularly, you know this, because you know how Brad Scott is very no fuss in his press conferences, and he's a no fuss coach. He said in his press conference, we were very disappointed with the midfielders and they will bounce back. Like he's not even entertaining that they don't bounce back. They are bouncing back. Like that is fact. So I expect us to start the game very well. I will say that. And not that we didn't last week because we did, but Port are stacked. I look through that Port team and I know we don't do research here on this pod. Bad me, but they are stacked. On every line, they are stacked. In the midfield, they're stacked. If you had to pick a weakness, you'd go maybe their back line. And the two things I remember from when we played them earlier in the year, so haven't played Bulldogs once, haven't played Sydney, but second time we're playing Port, so yay for the future. The two things I remember, the first thing was how good Brad Scott was in sending Laverty to Alirelia to... you know, keep him accountable, which let Stringer of Wiedemann off the leash, which obviously then went to water when Langford had to go back. But I remember that. And the second thing I remember as Port being really good once they got, because I think we were leading until half, like for half of that game. And the reason I remember thinking that the reason Port were able to get on top is that they were able to really keep the ball in their forward half. So I'm talking even from the set, just beyond the centre in their forward half, they were really able to keep the ball. If our backs didn't go quick from a kick in, the Port players just set up beautifully like a wall. So that's the two things I remember from that game.
Yeah, that's a shocking piece of analysis in terms of, I mean, shockingly in depth, which is very off brand.
Oh, yes, but apologies.
You do make some really good points. So then going to who we think will win, what's your position? It doesn't sound like you're confident.
Look, I think they're gettable. I think they're gettable at the G. I do. That Collingwood thrashed them earlier in the year at the G, and look, we're not Collingwood, but I do think they're gettable. But we have to be absolutely ticking. And I really hope they go with one ruck. I really, really hope. I think it will pay off. I want them to go with the one ruck. My heart and my head are saying different things. I'm going to go with a win, stupidly. It's probably not going to be right, but I'm going to go with a win, and I'm going to say 9 points.
Yes. Funnily enough,
What are you saying? Because you've been good on this.
Look, on the podcast on Sunday, the one you didn't listen to, very rudely.
Well, stop trashing the week, and I'll be back.
I'm superhuman. You missed a song of the week. Another song of the week. I've got another one coming up too. I'm just on fire. But yeah. I said we'll win. I'm actually not as confident now because it's a bit like you. I was looking at their team and, yeah, I was just like, I can see them kicking 18 to 20 goals.
Well, I feel like if we do win, we'll have to kick 100 points.
For sure.
We'll have to be but the good thing is that, like, the only recognised defender, like the only one I'm particularly worried about is Alia. And if he takes Peter Wright, which I don't actually think is a natural matchup for him, I think Wiedemann and Stringer and Langford could do damage.
I think Scott would love it if 2 metre was one out with Alia. Mm,
exactly.
We were too, and that's another thing we need to sort out. Like, we were too Pedro Wright centric.
But I couldn't even tell. I couldn't even tell, were we? Because we were just bombing it. There was no, like, I couldn't even tell if it was going towards Peter Wright because there was no awareness, there was no desire to actually find a target or put it. Like, some of it, he likes it high, right? He likes it high, but on top of his head.
Yeah, but I think that was the target. I think rather than looking at the x-axis,
yeah,
we looked at the y-axis and we just went, okay, kicking to 2 metre is just kick it high, and because he's taller than everybody, then voila, he'll just take the mark every time.
No, see, I thought it was thoughtless, pressured, just bombing it. Get like a hot potato, get it out of my hands. That's what I felt like, but maybe you're right.
I'm not thinking there was any thought into that at all. If that's what they genuinely thought, then they're morons. No, they just bombed it long. And
it was like a bomb and hope. Anybody gets on it, and that it's not going to work. And Wiedemann and Langford and Stringer might have to sacrifice a bit of their games to make space.
Well, I think there'll be lots of space for them.
Yeah, because you love us at the G. So
I love us at the G.
Mm-hmm.
I would love Langford to stay forward and stretched, stretch Port. I just think they're going to score too many. I think our back line's going to be exposed.
Yeah, and they got, like, their forwards are in very, very good form as well. Paul, Marshall, Dixon, Finlayson. Yeah. Very tall, accurate, and they're kicking accurately too, but we are kicking accurately too. We've been good on set shots.
Until last week, it wasn't brilliant. We missed some shots we should have scored. Yeah. So we need to kick straight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we looked at the the back line looked a bit clunky last week.
Yep. Do you think, I know the overwhelming opinion on that is that the unbalanced nature, do you subscribe to that?
Well, when or they played poorly and then people look to, well, we looked unbalanced. Well, maybe we just looked unbalanced because the guys down there, there was a couple of players that didn't play well. Kelly had a bad game. Levert again had a bad game. There was just, yeah. And then of course, the forward line was just, our defence was under intense pressure because of the way they were just streaming out of the midfield. So, you know, it looked unbalanced. It looked ungainly. It looked, it didn't look good. Again, just as the forward line looked dysfunctional. But maybe it's because some players weren't playing well.
Because it is so system-based, this game, and you know our game plan is so system-based. If there's one chink in that chain, the whole chain is falling down. So you can't be a little off in this. And I mean, I know that's what wins premierships, like system rather than you know,
system over something else starting with S, skills, system over.
System over, like, individual brilliance, individual game. But they've all got to be on. And I think, personally, I think it starts in the middle, and I think the midfielders set the tone. I thought our clearances were poor. I actually thought Parrish had a good first game back, so I wouldn't lay it on his head. I know his defensive running is not great, but I thought they all lacked defensively.
Yep, system over stars, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Good. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yep.
Well, to those listeners,
like, so hang on, you didn't say, are we winning or losing?
Oh no, I think we're going to lose by 20 points.
Damn. Do you know why I went a win this afternoon when I was thinking about it?
Why?
It's because I remember you loving us sick at the G, and so that's what got me over the line. So you're going against your damn.
I'm a little worried that we're about to go into a period of losing some games, but hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm wrong. To your point, we've already exceeded expectations.
We have, but that would be very, very upsetting.
It would. Now, to those who said we didn't talk enough football, there you go. That was solid football. We were talking stats.
Who are we?
We were talking game plans. We were talking systems. I mean, what more do you fucking want? So we're just going to do no tails with the sauna. We're just going to do one Fiona's couch question.
Have you sifted through and got a good one for me?
Yeah, I've got a good one. Are there any other thoughts you have on the game before I ask that question?
My other thought was, what about if, I haven't checked the forecast, but if it rains, does that give us a bit of an advantage?
Is this your wild card? We bring back the wild card.
No, it's a reverse wild card because I'm asking you. I just thought of it now because I'm looking outside at the dreary sky and it's looking very grey. And I haven't checked the forecast for tomorrow night, but if it rained or if it drizzled.
Well, the forecast is crystal clear.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I was going to say that probably gives us a bit of an advantage.
But, you know, that probably means it'll rain. But it is going to be cold.
Oh, joy.
It's 13 degrees tomorrow.
But wear my thermals? Wear my thermal underwear, you're saying?
Yeah, okay. Wear the thermal underwear.
All right.
And actually, this is a point I wanted to make. Has Brad Scott put a foot wrong? Has he put a foot wrong in his communication?
Oh,
and
no.
The way he speaks? I don't think he has. And, I mean, he was always quite an intelligent, thoughtful guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though he was a thug as a player, but even as a player, he was thoughtful. I do think the emotions got the better of him sometimes as North coach, and they may well do again. But just his comments about the supporters and having support, he never sounds contrived. He never sounds, the words aren't hollow. It's not platitudes. He just, does he put a foot wrong? I don't think he does.
90s communication, because it's just, it's a genuine, I feel like I'm talking to his inner human. Do you know what I mean? He wears his heart on his sleeve, and that comes out in press conferences completely. He's very no fuss and looks like he's got a very hard exterior, but yeah, his words, and I just can't see how that doesn't get through to any player. Like, and you know, as they said on the commentary the other week, it's hard to see any player who hasn't improved this year. I would argue maybe Laverty, but we don't want to, you know, we've still got the year to go, so let's hope he picks up. But it's hard to see any player, like even hearing Parrish's comments yesterday, I don't know
yes,
if you heard.
Yes.
He said, yeah. I feel valued. Like, what more could any person want at their place of work? I feel valued. I have clarity on where I sit. That is all you want from a place of work. So I can't see. That's why I said to you a few weeks ago, I'm excited for the off season and how, like, attracting free agents and trading for players, because they'll want to come and play for someone who communicates that well.
I agree entirely. And his message this week was about the impact that the supporters can have.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, and maybe this is a wild card, is we can just get a really, you know, big crowd.
Yes.
For basically an interstate game. And we saw the influence that the crowd can have on umpiring, as an example.
Exactly.
Let's
put your beanies on, put your thermal underwear on, put your socks on, and get to the game. It's a Saturday night. Cancel your plans. If you've got weddings to go to, fuck those. Just get to the G.
Correct.
And
get them to save some of something about Cake's cake for you.
That's right.
Don't go to the wedding. Yeah.
I'll bring you a slice to the G. Don't worry about that.
Correct.
I've always got cake lying around.
All right. Now.
All right.
Here's my...
Come on, let me get onto my couch. Hang on.
Yeah, Fiona's couch. You can help somebody, a young person here.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yep.
They've even started this, Dear Fiona.
Oh, it's polite.
Dear Fiona, I've finished my degree and moving into, we don't know what degree this is, moving into the profession that I'm supposed to and that my family expect me to be in. However, I don't want to do that. I want to do something different. How do I tell my family? Should I be worried about what they think? And should I go for it? Or should I just follow the path that has been expected of me? Now, they don't give any details, but what's your advice? I chose this one because I think it's a good question, a really good question, because it's something a lot of us have had to, you know, do you do the thing you really want to do, or do you do the thing that you think you have to do?
Well, I guess I am living proof that you don't do what you think you have to do, because that's exactly what I did. And look, I won't say, you never say life is wasted, but it was a very, very unhappy, lost couple, actually it may have been three years of my life. It was the most, it was the unhappiest I've ever been. It was the most disenchanted feeling. I did really well at school, got a very high enter score, got into journalism, did journalism because I thought I needed, when I was picking, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I've always been very creative by nature. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I always was led to believe I needed an academic career to earn lots of money, because that's what would make me worthy and acceptable. So I went to uni, did journalism, then did marketing, hated it, hated my life. I hated university. Sorry.
You hate the university was the 3 years that you were miserable.
Yep.
Okay.
I hated everything about it. I hated the university life. I hated everything. Like, I could not find one thing that I enjoyed. And then one night, and I've always loved cooking and baking, and one night I just made a very spectacular dinner and dessert menu. I just felt like doing it for my mum. And she made a passing comment she just said, oh, this is so good. You should do this. You should do this professionally. And the next day, this was after 3 years into 3 years of the university, the next day I got onto a tram in the city, in the CBD, and trammed down to William Anglers in the city. And I signed up and I enrolled into a pastry chef apprenticeship. And that was all she wrote. So, and that was 10 years ago. So, and now I have my own business, and obviously there's a lot in between, but I cannot stress this enough. It will always catch up with you. If you go down the path that you think you should do and not that which sets your soul on fire, it will catch up with you one way or another, whether that's a midlife crisis, if you defy the universe, what the universe wants for you for that long. If you're young now and you get to 50 and you have a midlife crisis, it will come out. It will catch up with you in one way or another. It will keep showing you. The universe will keep showing you signs of what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. It will keep kicking you until you listen. Your life will be up and down. You'll never feel like you belong. You'll feel like you're going through the motions. You'll never find workplaces that make you feel comfortable. You'll never feel like you're where you're meant to be. You'll question who you are and where you belong in life. And you know what? If money is what you're worried about, if money brings you so much happiness, I truly believe that you will make it so that doing the thing you love will make you that amount of money. I truly believe that. So I hope that answered your question in short.
I reckon it answers the question unequivocally. And it was two people said this: a coward dies a thousand deaths. You heard that before?
Yeah.
It was originally Shakespeare, but most recently Kanye West.
We really should not be taking life advice from that man, but okay.
You know what? This is a real conundrum for me, because other than the Beatles, Kanye is my favourite artist.
What? No.
By far.
His
music is outstanding.
But this is the thing. This is the whole thing separating artists from art. I have issues with it with Michael Jackson. I adore his art. I adore everything about his art. I can't stop watching his art. But every time I do, I feel guilty.
Elvis Presley adopted Priscilla Presley when she was 13, took her home, fucked her, and then married her as soon as she was old enough. A lot of people, that wasn't in the Baz Luhrmann movie.
Wow. Yeah, that's not great,
is it? You know.
I don't feel right. I don't feel good.
You're right. It's artist versus art. But anyway, great advice. We've again blown. Hopefully that's not too much for people.
That's good advice at any point. And you know what? Even if you're 50 and you realize that's what you've done your whole life, it is never too late to drop everything, change careers, change gears, and just it's going to take you a shit ton of courage. But I promise you, the universe, and you're going to think I sound a bit airy-fairy here. I'm not talking about umming and ahhing and hoodoo. I'm just talking about the universe as a whole. It will come back. It will reward you. It will reward you, because you're currently not doing what you're meant to be doing. If you're not happy, if you're not feeling content, but it's going to take you courage. It's going to require you to be really, really fucking brave.
Or in my experience is even if you're just leaving a job, even if the next place isn't the place for you, it'll lead you to where you're meant to be.
If you set that intention in that, not in a sit down and write journals and be, you know, we've discussed this in previous forecasts. It's, I say universe, but I mean in like the energy, right? If you set that intention and you actually, you start moving, listening to your instincts, your intuition, and the higher powers will.
Yep.
Oh no, I feel like I'm heading down the road and I'm losing some of the very strong headed people here with my. They're going to think I'm some. I need to.
No. How do you think I built Windsock Towers into the multinational conglomerate, media conglomerate?
True.
We're our own chief marketing officer, your head of catering. We've got general counsel. It is a yeah, that was the law of assumption, my friend.
Yeah, look, I mean, as a, the point of that spiel was to say it's never too late. It's never too late. You will be rewarded, but it does. It's hard and it's painful, and a lot of things will drop off in your life. But on the other side of it will be what you actually want to be doing with your life.
Beautiful. Well done. Great couch and great question.
Great question. So thank you for that question.
Keep them coming. I keep getting them in the DMs.
Very good.
Some of them get binned straight away. Trust me, I'm not going to be like, there's some that will never ever be answered. So why do you bother? But yeah.
Thanks for shielding me from those. I appreciate that.
Most of them have been very good. Very good. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. We'll be back probably Monday with the new podcast, hopefully talking about the stirring win against Port. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.